Yeah, it was an ambitious goal of getting from design to deployment in 40 minutes.
Welcome to Developing Digital, Sitecore's technical podcast series. In this series, we explore the latest technology underpinning the Sitecore Experience platform. My name is Derek Dysart, and I'm glad you're here. In this episode, I talk with Alex Sheba of Altola. Headless CMS is one of the most exciting technologies to hit the market. Alex and I consider what Sitecore's headless technology enables. This includes congruous and decoupled back-end and front-end development, shorter time to market, and easy integrations. So without further delay, please enjoy this conversation with Alex.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Derek.
Alex, for folks that may not know you, can you give a little bit of an introduction?
Sure. I'm Alex Sheba. My background is full stack. So I've been Sitecorean for over a decade before starting my own firm with Todd Mitchell and Lars Peterson. So it's a boutique experience agency called Altola.
Okay.
So I'm kind of bringing all of that Sitecore's experience in various areas now on the other side of the fence, helping with adoption of these cutting edge technologies that we had a chance to contribute to.
Nice. So in at Symposium, you did a presentation kind of outlining some of the features that are available in Sitecore for someone using it in a headless manner. And I guess before we kind of dive into that, I think when you think of a headless content management system, what exactly does that mean to you?
To me, to put it simply, is a CMS that has no business in rendering.
Uh huh.
So it ends at the API boundary, and then final presentation of output is a job of another layer. So it's kind of physically decoupled CMS.
Yeah. So the way I hear that is a typical CMS is going to output HTML and markup and something that's going to be consumed in a browser, gives a nice authoring experience to somebody trying to manage the content. I mean, content management's right in the name of the tool, but in a headless manner, you're kind of saying we may not be outputting it as a web page. It'll be consumed from somewhere else.
Yeah, because you may have a mobile device rendering it natively, and CMS is a web channel tool, right? So there is no way to really do that job. So why bother doing that in the first place?
Yeah. So let's talk about the presentation you give. You gave a demonstration, and maybe you could kind of recount it for the listeners.
Yeah. So my approach was kind of different because there's lots of JSS talks covering features and functionality. So I wanted to.
And so when you say JSS, what is
Sitecore JavaScript Services, yeah.
So that's kind of the portion of Sitecore that allows you to consume Sitecore from JavaScript frameworks.
That's right. Yeah, it's one way of doing headless, and it's a lot of different things. At the core is a new API that lets you access page model.
Okay.
So you tap into this multi-year investment in contextual content delivery that Sitecore's made, and you make it available as an HTTP endpoint.
Okay.
So that's what's called layout service. It's contextual, meaning it's personalization enabled. It knows who the consumer is, so you can personalize the output. You can do MV testing of your components. That is a part of this markup. So think about it as kind of structural presentation layer. And it's tracked, so you get analytics out of the box. So it's a very cool thing, and it's a .NET MVC base, so it's the rendering engine we know, kind of repurposed for other clients, not .NET clients.
Okay.
So that was critical for JavaScript. And another big piece is a set of packages, so it's an SDK for React, Angular, and Vue, and some experimental React Native packages that kind of bring components. Sitecore placeholder component that's able to render components from that layout service output, and some helpers to be able to translate fields coming out of Sitecore into something manageable, renderable inside of that environment.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's JSS isn't just one thing. It's kind of a suite of services. Yeah.
It's a salad bar. kind of. Yeah. So you pick what you want. Another big part is a code first, which is kind of, it's very different from any other kind of hybrid headless CMSs out there. Its ability to detach from CMS during development.
Uh-huh.
So you're running local mock services.
Okay.
So that means you can run on non-Windows environments.
Sure.
and do initial phases of development, prototyping without CMS being installed or available for you as a front-end developer.
Great.
And then you script the process of bootstrapping your app with SiteCore CMS. So you kind of work with these abstractions in JSON, YAML, or JavaScript. And you bring what app needs into SiteCore in the automated fashion. So that's what's known as code first. You don't have to do that, but that's an option. And it works for some projects and front-end led teams where you want your front-end developers to do a little bit more than just, you know, front-end and behavior and all that. You actually want to have them shape contract for your components.
Uh-huh.
So some like that because it empowers them to do more and they're less dependent on backend.
Okay.
So that's what enables kind of this two-speed architecture.
Sure.
In a way where backend is moving on its own pace and frontend can evolve and move much faster.
Nice. So kind of getting back to the demonstration you did, you kind of demonstrated how fast you can actually move as a developer in actually producing, you know, some consumable output. I mean, an actual functioning website. I wonder if you could talk a little bit of how that went.
Yeah, it was an ambitious goal of getting from design to deployment in 40 minutes. So I had to streamline certain things to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the idea, you start with a design tool, that lets you work, in atomic design.
Okay.
World, so you work of components, you design behavior interactions, and that tool produces React code base.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool, which you take as a front-end developer, you clean it up, you plug in other parts of your stack, the styling library that you like, state management that you like, but you already work, you got, you know, 60% off front-end code from the design tool, which is kind of awesome.
And what was the name of that tool that you used?
React Studio.
Okay.
I just recently discovered that last week.
Okay.
Most design tools that work in this kind of component centric world, they stop at that state. They don't want to produce production ready code, but these guys figure it out and they doubling down on that approach.
And it's interesting here because a lot of times you work with tools, especially if they're generating code. You know, I think back to early days of the web, you'd have, like Photoshop, you could have it output, you know, a sliced up document as HTML. And it was, you know, no developer in their right mind would actually use the HTML that came out of that. They would, you know, definitely want to tweak it and optimize it. So that's interesting to hear a tool like that is actually, like you said, producing production ready code.
I think it works better because it's fun. I'm not 100% certain, but I think it's under the scenes. It's React rendering inside of that tool. So it's a tool for Mac because React is agnostic of any rendering target. It could be HTML, could be console, could be, you know, design tool. So I think the high fidelity of that code comes from that, the fact that it's all React under the scenes. So it's not like one technology and then you translate into another technology.
Okay.
I think it has some legs, definitely. So after you have that code base, then you do your front end work required to kind of make it more production ready, and then you JSSify it.
Okay.
So you add sprinkles of SiteCore SDK on top of that code base.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of static texts, you use SiteCore primitives to make sure text will be coming from CMS.
Mm-hmm.
And next phase, you deploy it. So at the end of that process, you almost prepped for, you know, one script, one command deploy into SiteCore instance.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of built the application out had some, I don't know, placeholder text where, you know, you're going to eventually drive the content out of Sitecore. And then, once you took that out of React Studio, you basically dropped in the native part. So it would pull information from Sitecore.
Yep. So that code first model lets you, work with this mocked, Sitecore service that all you need is specified content in YAML or JSON or JavaScript, register these components with this manifest through JavaScript APIs. Any front-end developer can do it. So you shape contract for all your components. These are the fields, the different field types. That's how I want them to be displayed in CMS. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's kind of opt-in. So you can spec out component down to like validation settings on every field, but you don't have to do it. All you need to specify component name. Here's my fields. That's how they're named. So it's a very progressive approach. You can take it to 11, but you don't have to.
Sure.
And then the beauty of Sitecore JavaScript services is also server-side integration with .NET. So by deploying the same app you build as a front-end dev into CMS is the same app that runs server-side inside of the CMS environment.
Okay.
So Sitecore's approach to headless is hybrid. So you can do physically decoupled, but you can also have your app rendered inside of the experience editor, the in-context WYSIWYG editing tool.
Yeah, so that gives the content author the ability to edit fields in place in the app.
They would never know if it's a JavaScript application.
Right. And that's I think an interesting point is that it's you get a lot of content management systems where it's, you know, you're just buying an authoring environment, making it easier for folks to author stuff. But you can actually leverage all of what Sitecore brings to bear on that. Not only being able to, like you said, use a WYSIWYG, but then use the personalization services within there as well.
Yep. So that third chapter was to decorate the app with marketing features like personalization, personalize a component. And afterwards, you figure out how we want to deploy this app. That's another set of good surprises is that you now have so many options how you want to deploy your app, how you can deploy your app. So by physically decoupling rendering, you can have server-side node sitting on any Linux server to render it on any managed Node.js environment will be able to render your app. So you don't have to deploy, you know, Windows, more expensive and heavy Windows and hosting environments for your production, for the app tier. You still need those for Sitecore content delivery endpoints, but you have total flexibility there. So what I showed instead of doing the Node.js route, which is kind of been done before, I deploy the app to CDN.
Okay.
So this way you have browsers doing rendering of output, JSON output from Sitecore, along with the bundle, your JavaScript, and then you get HTML rendered by the client.
Okay.
By using some of the cutting edge, CDNs, we like using Netlify a lot for any of the web stuff. So they have a cool, like, drag and drop from folder from your desktop into the browser.
Okay.
So without even setting up account, you can do these anonymous drop in deploys.
Uh-huh.
And then it will take the folder with your JavaScript output and it will deploy it to, you know, 30 whatever locations globally in seconds, right?
Sure.
So that's a pretty different way of deploying your app. So I had Sitecore deployed into Azure Pass, and that was my headless endpoint, and the app went to CDN.
Okay.
So that was kind of one way of doing it with content, kind of running connected app in the CDN, the browser connecting to your CDN endpoints for content. And then to kind of dial it up to 11, I showed how a way to publish content into CDN as well.
Okay.
So if you want to detach from content delivery and cache all of the app content into it, we have a little module we built that lets you publish to Netlify.
Okay.
That means you really use Sitecore CDs only for personalized content and for anything you want to query, run a complex query, like want to query my product catalog. You don't want to pre-publish whole product catalog and query it on the client. you cannot even do that. So this way you have, you split what's your static portion of your web content, part of your kind of page model,
okay,
and what's kind of dynamic, what's contextual. And with JSS, you can marry kind of the two approaches, because there is a way to render not just whole page, but part of the page. So only that part, that zone that is personalized. So it gives you ability for app to do kind of meld this two worlds of static content and dynamic content delivery.
Yeah. So you're caching all the quote unquote static content. It's still content managed through the content management yep. system, but it changes infrequently. So that gets pushed out to the CDN. Yep. And then the stuff that does change or needs to change due to personalization is sent back to Sitecore and yep. runs the personalization. That's pretty slick. So I think this was obviously, you did this as a demo for to kind of show proof of concept, but talk a little bit about, like, if this was a actual production app, I mean, really from a time to market standpoint, this seems like a whole lot fast. I mean, you did this in the course of a 40-minute presentation, but scaling this out to a more realistic project, maybe you could talk a little bit about the speed that this gives you as a developer for deploying this app.
I think there are two aspects here. One is speed of prototyping, ability to just knock a few things out. If you want to build a new, experimenting with your VP of marketing or whoever want to launch something, a new interesting campaign and app, you can do that without paying the CMS integration tax.
Uh-huh.
So build it out completely standalone, and then either hand it off to CMS developer for integration or script the integration, so make it fully automated. So get from kind of ideation to real functioning prototype that already prepped for CMS integration very, very fast. So that's kind of experimentation acceleration. And another piece is just day to day faster deployments and less taxing updates to your existing digital property.
Uh-huh.
Because of this decoupling from CMS, if you need to do a bug fix, let's say that code doesn't touch content, you can deploy it without going through CMS deployment completely, because sure. your app tier is completely separate. It lets you redesign your digital property potentially without any changes to CMS,
sure. right?
So, which is kind of close to impossible to imagine with coupled systems.
Yeah, any CMS Sitecore or otherwise, it's yep. It's a kind of a heavier move, and I think. Going back to when you're talking, you can leverage tools like React Studio to rapidly prototype something. Yeah. And now you've also got the ability where you don't have to have a developer fully steeped in, Sitecore and knowing that it seems like as you do the integration part and pull in the Sitecore pieces, you can use somebody that's, just a solid front end developer that knows their, knows React or knows Angular or knows Vue to rapidly prototype something out. Yep. And they don't even need, they can do it on the system they're used to. They're not having to yep. fire up Visual Studio and yep. learn how to write Razor views.
It's so amazing to see when I'm doing these boot camps, it's usually three front end developers and one back end developer. It
uh-huh.
changes the team structure. And when I see how it starts clicking with front-enders, they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's just so much different than traditionally trying to bring front-ender into, a .NET MVC environment. It's just too foreign. It's not too many obstacles to overcome from tooling perspective, environment, right? So it's awesome to see when it kind of clicks and it just makes sense. And lets them work the way they want to work. And JSS doesn't change the way they, doesn't introduce kind of brand new developer workflow. They can use their own stack. It's kind of just augments their stack instead of kind of reinventing and coming up with its own build system tooling and enforcing something that shouldn't be enforced. So it's very unobtrusive way to kind of bring front end devs into the fold and into the Psycho ecosystem and have specialization, right? You don't have to have like somebody doing pipeline backend customizations, mm-hmm. and then coding up Razor views the second day.
Yeah.
And specialization project managers love it. It just makes sense. And that gives you that two speed delivery. And probably what's most important is the output of front-enders work will not be then interpreted and coded up in CMS mm-hmm. templates, like in Razor views. It's the same code that they produce. That's what runs in production.
Yeah.
So you eliminate that kind of additional effort of interpreting front-end deliverables in CMS.
There's always that translation from, you know, say the HTML comp that front-end developer does, yeah. and that's got to get sliced into pieces that go into the CMS. Yeah. So that's interesting. I think the other point you touched on that I find interesting too is that there are a lot of, you mentioned Netlify. There are a lot of services out there for deploying these applications in a highly scalable way that now open up the door for a Sitecore back-ended site to leverage that.
Yep. Yeah, it's a real pleasure to work with these tools. It's and so refreshing often. Things are much more lightweight. I was using Mac OS during my developer demo at Psycho Symposium.
Yeah.
So that was kind of risky, right? I couldn't even get Projector to work for the first couple of minutes. So that was intense. So being able to show how you can be productive on a Psycho build on a Mac, that's fairly new.
Yeah, that's definitely new. It's definitely new. Well, Alex, I appreciate you. It shouldn't be, but yeah. So Alex, I appreciate you taking the time today. If folks want to learn more about you, where can they find you online?
Occasionally on Twitter at Alex Shiba, or hit me up on LinkedIn.
Great.
I'd love to talk. We're going to be doing boot camps on this fall around November, December, mostly around big U.S. cities. So, that's an opportunity to learn more about GSS and kind of have a 2-day immersive experience.
Great.
Well, with me. So if
we'll stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again for hanging out and talking a little bit about Headless CMS.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks for joining us for Developing Digital, Sitecore's technical podcast series. For more information on the latest digital experience technology or to check out other episodes, follow the link in the show notes or visit us at sitecore.com.